Okay, good morning.
Are they making Gzera?
I'm not making Gzera.
Good morning, and may our learning be a merit. Li'ilu nishmas. Yirachai and Nachama bracha le'ah shalom. Bas David Mordechai. We were dealing with afterbirths, with shilyas. The Mishnah said if you find a shilya in a room, so then according to the Tanakhama, the whole room is tame. Not that the shilya itself is a child, but there's always a shilya with a child. So we assume that a child came out with the shilya and then it disintegrated. Whereas Rabbi Shimon said, no, maybe the child disintegrated inside. And as Rashi said, the blood of the shilya, the blood of the child, was batel. It was annulled based on all the other bloods that were there. Therefore, it doesn't create the tuma of a dead body, a corpse in a room. So we had yesterday all sorts of unusual discussions of a baby and then a shilya born later. If the shilya comes later, can we still ascribe it to this baby? Do we not? So now, boyiminei Rabbi Yossi ben Sholme Rebbe. We are five or six lines up before the bottom. So.
Yeah.
Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul me Rebbe. Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul asked the question of Rebbe. Hamapelas tmus orev. A woman has a miscarriage, and what comes out of her is something that looks like a raven. And then what comes out is a shilya, an afterbirth. So now what's the halacha mahu? Do we say that this shilya, this afterbirth, was really connected to the raven? Or do we say, no, birds never have shilyas, and therefore this shilya has nothing to do with the raven, but rather it's from a baby that we don't see, a baby that disintegrated. And therefore there's tumah in the room. There's impurity in the room. So Amar Leh, he said, ain't tolin el v'davar sheyesh b'mino shilya. And we add the law that we assume when we see a shilya that there must have been a baby. That's true, but if there was a birth, and we just say that the shilya was with the birth, not with some other baby, that's only true if the birth is normal to have, it's normal for it to have a shilya. But since a raven doesn't normally have a placenta and an afterbirth, so therefore we don't say that this placenta and afterbirth were connected to this raven. We say, no, there must have been some other baby that disintegrated in the chaos of the birth. And therefore, she has the impurity of 2 weeks, because maybe that baby was a girl. So as the Gemara now, what about Kshura Bo Mahu? What it would be the law if she had a miscarriage of a raven, and the raven was tied to the shilya. So it's not just that, okay, there's a raven that came out, was it from the shilya? There's reason to think that it's from, that the shilya is from it, because the shilya is actually tied to the raven. So now, maybe we say that the shilya is from the raven, and that's it. So, get into the machlokas we saw earlier. If the raven's male, maybe you have 7 days, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Since it's a raven, it's not considered a birth at all. But the shilya is not going to make us think that there's another baby that came out and we should therefore give her 2 weeks of tumah. Amar Leh, so Rebbe said back to Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul, Tavar she'eno sha'alta. You asked me something which is an impossibility. It's impossible that a raven, which normally doesn't have a placenta, if a raven is coming out of a human being, that there's going to be a placenta, and that placenta is going to be tied to the raven.
But clearly we're not talking about a real raven anyway, because her biology wouldn't be working that way.
Okay.
So but I thought the whole thing was that it looks like it.
Okay, even if it looks like it, he was saying it's an impossibility that such a thing would happen. Now the Gemara says, is that really true? Is Rebbe right? Esvei in the yeshiva, they challenged Rebbe. We're in a brisa. Hamapelas, a woman who has a miscarriage of min, behema, of something which looks like an animal, domesticated animal, or a chaya, what came out of her looks like a wild animal, or oaf, or what came out of her looks like a bird, the shilya imahen, with an afterbirth with them. Bizman shashilya kshura imahen, if the afterbirth is tied to them, In Choshen Levlad Acher. Now we see that this afterbirth is from them. It's from this bird or animal. Angel Yukshuri Mine, if the afterbirth is not tied to them, Choshen Levlad Acher, then we have to say that maybe the afterbirth also had a baby and the baby disintegrated into the afterbirth. And then we're worried that maybe there was a baby that disintegrated. So Reni Matil Alehen, Chomer Shnei Vados. So now starting Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, now I'm going to put on this woman stringencies of two babies. Right, let's say the animal that came out of her was male, so that gives her 7 days of tuma, according to Rabbi Meir. And then there's an afterbirth. The afterbirth may have been a female, so that gives her another week of tuma. But since we don't know that the afterbirth was a female, had within a female, if the may toar, the days of tahara are only 26 days, and not 66 days like with a birth of a female. So she ends up having the stringencies of both, the stringencies of a boy, namely only 40 days of in total, so only 33 days of Yumei Tohar, and the stringencies of a girl of 2 weeks of Tumah. Shani Omer, for we say, Shema Nimoach Shafir Shel Shilya. I say maybe the fetus of the Shilya disintegrated. And the animal born, and the child born as an animal also had a shilya, but it disintegrated into it. So you see that in these situations, as David pointed out, since these situations are not really an animal or a bird being born, it's really something from her in the shape of a bird, in the shape of an animal, right? It's really tissue and blood that looks like an animal. So it probably did have a shilya with it. And it could even have a shilya attached to it. It said that explicitly. So to Yufta, that disproves Rebbe. When Rebbe said that the question was an impossibility, he was wrong. It's not an impossibility. Okay, now starting a whole series, which, as the Art Scroll points out, of really amazing events where women gave birth, and then 10 days later, 23 days later, 33 days later, the shilya came out, and the sages either ascribed that shilya that came out to the birth that had happened 33 days before, or it's also a fantastic thing, they said that the shilya that had come out was a twin, and that twin came out 33 days later. That's also an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing to think that one twin can come out one day, and 33 days later, another twin can come out. Amazing stories. Rav Zayin Amud Aleph, third line. I'm a Rav Bar Shila, Rav Masna, Rav Shmuel. Rav Bar Shila, the name of Rav Masna, the name of Shmuel. Masna, there was a story. The woman had given birth to a baby. 10 days later, her placenta came out. They didn't say, oh, the placenta came out 10 days later, that was from some other baby. So no, this placenta was from that original baby that came out 10 days earlier. And they only gave her the status of what that first baby had given her. That first baby was a boy. She had 7 days of tumah, 33 days of tahara. That's all she had. 7 days of impurity, 33 days of purity, that all the blood came out of her was pure. Hello, Amru. And they didn't say. Tolin. They didn't say that they would assume that this shilya was attached to this baby. Ela b'shilya ba acharavlad. And the afterbirth came after the birth of the baby. But had the afterbirth come out first, then we would have said, oh, there must have been some other baby with this afterbirth that we don't see anymore because it got disintegrated into the afterbirth. And the baby, the blood that came out, is another birth. And we can have multiple situations of tumah. I'm a Rabbi Bar Chana. I'm a Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Bar Chana said, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Maaseh, there was a story. They tell us that Shilya Bevlad at Esrim Ushlosha Yamin. Wow. A woman gave birth. 23 days later, her placenta came out. They said, this placenta was from the birth of 23 days ago. Not that it was a sign of a new baby. We said earlier, yesterday we were saying it was 3 days that it could connect it to. Now we're saying 23 days. Amar le Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, this story wasn't 23 days. It was 24 days. At Esrim v'arba Amar Blan. You told us it was 24 days. The woman gave birth, and 24 days later there was a placenta. We said the placenta was from that birth, and therefore, that's it. The placenta doesn't mean new days of Tumah. No, 24 days ago she had, I don't know, it was a boy. But 24 days ago she had 7 days of Tumah, that was it. Now she's in Yemei Tzohar. Okay, the placenta came out. That was from that earlier birth. She's still in Yemei Tzohar. Amar Rav Acha, Rebbe Rav Avira. Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Acha, the son of Rav Avira. Said the name of Rav Yochanan. That was a story, which is even more than placentas. Remember, we learned yesterday that when they're twins, they come out one right after the other. There's no big gap between one twin and the next. Rav Acha said a story of two twins who were born. One came out one day, and the other one came out 33 days later. Wow. Amalei Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Shlosha va'arba amitlan. You told us actually it was 34 days later. The second twin came out 34 days later. So the Gemara is going to find this very difficult.
Not a twin then.
Well, it must have been a twin.
I mean, I guess they came out close enough.
So now we're trying to figure out how is that possible to be twins. Because we assume in the halacha that when a woman is pregnant, she can't become, during her pregnancy, suddenly become pregnant with yet another baby. That doesn't happen. So how does this happen? That she had one baby 34 days before the other baby. So Hani Chalaman Dhamma, the Gemara says, this event is acceptable according to the opinion that says, you'll let us Letitia, also you'll let us Mekutai. Remember, in the times of the Gemara, human nature was different than the bodies that we have today. In those days, I don't know why, but in those days, if a woman would give birth after 7 or a little bit less than 7 months of pregnancy, the baby was viable. That was an early birth. If she wasn't giving birth after 7 months or a little bit less than 7 months, then already the baby could not survive unless the baby had had 9 months in the womb. So a baby of 8 months of pregnancy dies right away. The letus lachas dies. Our women are different. It doesn't happen anymore. But that's the way it used to be. So if you're going to tell me that the 9 month birth doesn't need 9 full months, it can even mean 9 partial months, then mishkachasla. Then we can figure out this case of two babies with a 33-day gap between them. Echad nigmarat tzuraso b'sof chashiva. The first baby, he was in the womb, and his pregnancy was 7 months. At the very end of the 7th month, he was finished. And he came out. However, the other one, Nigmra Tzuraso, he was finished not at the end of 7 months. He had the full 8th month, right? Because in the 8th month, it doesn't live. So he had to have the full 8th month. And then another day or two into the 9th month. And the 9th month doesn't have to be complete. And he came out. Echad Nigmra Tzuraso, the other one, his form was finished. Tchilas Tisha Chadash, Tchilas Tisha, to the beginning of the 9th month. So then you have a 33-day gap between them. Elman Dam, but he's going to tell me, you let us Letitia and you let us Mekutayin, that a 9-month-old baby needs to have 9 full months. It can't have only partial of the 9 months. Now, my equilibrium, what are you going to say? If the first baby had a full 7 months, okay, then the second baby is not able to come out 33 days later. The second baby will only be able to come out 60 days later. Has to have a full 9th month. And if the first baby had it's even partial 7th month, even more. The second baby's going to need more than even 60 days. It'll need 70 days, 80 days. So how did you have a situation of first baby coming out and the second baby coming out 33 days later? Gemara says an answer. Ipuch shmeitza. Let's switch who said what. In other words, the first case, which was first set of discussions and fantastic tales. A baby came out and then the afterbirth came out. That was where you had Rabbi Yochanan. It's like this. Shloshim u'shlosha l'shilya. There was a baby and then there was an afterbirth that came out. that afterbirth came out 33 days later. They said that afterbirth is still connected to the baby that was born 33 days ago. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. And in the second case, when there was actually a baby that came out after the first baby, that wasn't 33 days, that was Esrim Ushlosha Levlad. That was 23 days, and that was talking about two babies born into the seventh month. One was the very beginning of the seventh month, and one was later in the seventh month, because a seventh-month pregnancy doesn't have to be full months. It can also be with pieces. Okay, one last story, then we'll get to the questions. Amar Rav Avin, Bar Rav Ada, Amar Rav Menachem, Ish Kfar Sha'arim, Rav Advin, the son of Rav Ada, son of Rav Menachem, the man of Kfar Sha'arim. I mean, some say he wasn't from Kfar Sha'arim, he was from Beit Sha'arim, that was the town of Reb Yehuda Nasi. So there was a story, V'nishtaya Vlad Echad, Achar Chavero, Shlosha Chadashim. There was a baby that waited to come out after his friend 3 months. Wow. One baby came out, and 3 months later his twin brother came out. V'arehim Yoshvim Lefaneinu B'Beis HaMedrash, they're sitting in front of us in the Beis HaMedrash. Ma'aninu, you know who they are? Yehuda and Chizkiah, the Bnei Rabbi Chiya, the children of Rabbi Chiya. So now the Gemara is figuring, so how is this even possible? Well, I'm a Marbert, but didn't we say in Ishi Misaberes v'Choseres Misaberes that a woman can't become pregnant while she's pregnant? So how is it possible that you could have two babies coming out in a gap of 3 months between them? Amar Abaye, Abaye said, you're right, they didn't become pregnant twice. Tipa achas haisa. It was one drop of semen that produced both babies. Nischalka l'shnayim, the drop of semen divided into two. Echanigma tzurasa b'tchila shiva. The first twin, he was completed, his gestation completed him at the beginning of the seventh month. The echad, whereas the other, he was completed b'sof tisha, at the end of the ninth month. So there's basically a 3 month gap between the first and the second. Yeah, question, Baruch, you had a question before.
No, the question is, you said the women were different. I think the women are the same, but the medicine technology has gone up, so.
I think there are a lot of things here in Hilchos Nida that we see that women are different. Almog pointed out, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, the whole discussion of Hargasha, which we know very clearly from most of the Rishonim, the Nida that we deal with very practically, a woman who has her periods and then a husband can't touch her and be with her for 12 days until she had 7 clean days and she goes to the mikvah. That requires a Hargasha, a feeling. Torah says, Isha ki yezov dama bivsara. There has to be a flow of blood, a feeling. Our women tell us they don't have a feeling. They find blood, but they don't have this feeling to feel that their cervix opens. They don't feel it. Life has changed. You know, the big difference, again, in Hilchos Nida, is that we saw there was an opinion that a woman who has a non-regular period should not get married, because she'll be with her husband, so she'll have her period. So you shouldn't marry her. He never knows when she's going to be a prohibition of kares to him. Today, almost none of our women have a regular period. The women have a regular period because of artificial things, like they take certain birth controls. But most of our women have irregular periods. Again, the nature has changed. So this whole issue of Yoledes L'Ches, that she gives birth after 8 months, the baby doesn't live. Yoledes L'Zayin, 7 months does live, 9 months lives. That has changed, clearly. It's not, the reality anymore.
The food that we're eating, the
maybe food, exercise. Listen, also, Ed, you said the technology is also true. I mean, not that long ago, I remember reading a statistic from one of the writings of Rav Lichtenstein in the year 1800. Not so long ago, in the city of London, the birth expectancy was 40. Life expectancy was 40.
Right, 40.
People died at age 40.
Correct.
Today it's different. Life expectancy used to be 80, 90. So it's the world has changed. Some of these things have changed. All right, going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Shulya Babayas, and afterbirth found in the house, Habayas Tame, the whole room is Tame as an ohel, as a tent over a corpse. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, maybe the body disintegrated inside the womb. When it came out, it was with blood, and therefore the blood was mevatel it, the blood annulled it. You never had a corpse in the room. and therefore the room is tahor. Tanur Rabbanan went in a brisa. More color to this argument. Shulim bebayis, and afterbirth in a room, habayis tummy, the whole room is impure with tumas meis. Lo shashul yavlat, not that the afterbirth is a baby. Ela she'ein shulya, she'ein vlad ima. But there's no shulya, there's no afterbirth that doesn't have a baby with it. There had been a baby which disintegrated. Div Rabbi Meir, this is the view of Rabbi Meir. Now the Brice, it's not just Rabbi Shimon, they're also friends with him, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Shimon, Mitzahari. They say, no, the room is tahor. Amrulo, so these sages said to Rabbi Meir, Yatzamode, wouldn't you agree? Shemot you besefel abayas achitzon. If somebody takes this placenta, puts it into a cup, takes it out to an outer room, shutar, that room was going to be tahor. So he'll say, yeah, I agree. Because, you know, it got disintegrated in the first room. By the time it's going into the second room, there's no body anymore. It's just, you know, blood and stuff. And the blood's mavata what disintegrated. So, Amalahen, Avil, yeah, I agree. So then they said, so if you agree that once it disintegrated in one room, in the second room, it's not going to create tumas meis, it's not a corpse anymore. So why do you think it disintegrated when it came out of the body? Agree with us that it disintegrated while still in the body, and it shouldn't create any impurity in the first room too. So v'lama, why do you make it tzar? L'fisheino, because by the time it got to the second room, there was no vlad anymore. The vlad had disintegrated because it was moved around. So amrulo, so they say to Rabbi Meir, k'shem sheino mevayis achitzon, the same way you agreed, that if it's in the outer room, there's no tumah because it disintegrated. K'cheino mevayis apnini, why do you assume that in the inner room, first it was a baby, which created tumah, then it disintegrated? No, it disintegrated inside of her. So he said, no, there's a difference. In Odomi, you can't compare. Pam achas, l'nibuk shtei pam. You can't compare shaking something around once to shaking it around twice. So in other words, when it's inside of her and coming out, that's only one shaking around. So you have to worry. Maybe the baby came out of her. And then once it came out, it disintegrated. But once it came out and went to the second room, so it's shaking around so much, by now already, in the second room, it's certainly gone. And there's no tumah in the second room. Yazir Rapapa, Achorid Rabibi. Rapapa was once sitting behind Rabibi. Kamed Rav Amnuna in front of Rav Amnuna. The Yazir Rav Amnuna, he was sitting and saying, my time is Rabbi Shimon. What's the reason of Rabbi Shimon who says that the room is tahor? After all, even if the body disintegrated inside of her, it should be no different than a body that decomposes, which is a big topic in the Seches Olos. The Rekev, rot of a body, the netzel, the decomposition of a body. So the old answer to the Gemara, Rav Amnuna said, Kasava, Rabbi Shimon holds, kol tumah shenes ariv b'mimin acher. Anytime you have something of tumah, let's say a dead body in this case, or you could have blood, it becomes batel when something else mixes in with it. So therefore, the fetus, which has disintegrated into the placenta. Yeah, it's a body that disintegrated, but it's mixed in with the blood of the placenta, and therefore it is bata. It is annulled. Amalahu Rav Papa. Rav Papa said to them, to Rav Bibi and Rav Amuna, if that's the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon, Hainu Nami Tamayu, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi. So then, based on the brisa that linked Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi to Rabbi Shimon, this must also be the thinking of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, that when you have an item that is a matame, it gets mixed up with other things, it's no longer matame. Achichu alei. They laughed at him. They said, of course. Maishna. Why would there be a difference? Pshita. It's obvious that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are all agreeing. Rabbi Yossi is agreeing. We're saying that the reason for all of them is bitul with something else. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa said back, Afilu ki ha milsa, even if my comment makes you laugh at me, lema inish, a person should say it. Lo nishto kame rabbe, he shouldn't be quiet in front of his teacher. Always ask questions, even if the questions are going to make you into a laughing stock. Because if you don't ask questions, you don't understand. So you always should be asking questions, right? What do we say in Pirkei Avos? Ein abay shel nomed, the embarrassed person never learns. Mishum shenema, we also have a verse in Mishlei saying this thought, im navalta, if you lowered yourself, Hisnase, you will be elevated. Imzamosa, and if you've been quiet, Yadlape, you're going to put your hand to your mouth. You're not going to have answers when people ask you. If you had questions to ask, and you didn't ask, you didn't check for understanding, then you're not going to know. So I had to ask. I know, it's silly, but I had to ask.
Speaking of question, how did they tahorize those the rooms? That it was tameh,
the rooms. Oh, so, well, the room itself wasn't tameh. It's that the roof transfers tumah from what we assume was a corpse to everything in the room.
Right.
Everything in the room has to go to the mikvah.
It's not tameh.
Okay, now how about the actual physical building?
The building doesn't become tameh because it's attached to the ground. Whatever is attached to the ground does not become. That doesn't become tameh.
But all the contents of that room have to go to the mikvah.
Yeah. So the Gemara explains. Again, the logic that Rav Amuna argued for Rabbi Shimon was that according to Rabbi Shimon, since there's a mixture of other things together with the decomposed dead body, the decomposed dead body cannot create tumah. As Rabbi Shimon Latame, Rabbi Shimon is consistent. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa. Male Tarvad Rekev. If you have a ladle, which is enough to hold two palms worth of dirt, and it's filled with decomposed human flesh, a dead body, the body decomposed into rekev, and this rekev is now a ladle worth of it, which is the amount to create tumah. Shenafel letocho afer kolshu. If a little bit of dirt now falls in, tameh, according to the chachamim, it's still tameh. However, Rabbi Shimon is mitaher. Rabbi Shimon says it's tar. So here you have again Rabbi Shimon's logic. If something else is mixed in, it doesn't create tumah. Here you have dirt with a little bit of this dirt with the rot of a human body, decomposed human body.
More dirt than dust?
No, just one little bit of dirt, it said.
Watch that
word. Okay, let's see in a second. My time to Rabbi Shimon. What's the logic of Rabbi Shimon? I'm a rabba answer. Ashkechetinu l'rabbanu de Rav. I met the students of the yeshiva. The Yashiva Kami, they were explaining. David asks, don't we have a normal rule of rove? Don't we follow the majority? We have a ladle. Almost all of the ladle is decomposed human flesh. So isn't the majority now tummy? Like the whole thing be considered decomposed human flesh. So they were explaining. The question is how you measure the sample. They were sitting and saying, I afshir shlo yirbush de predos afar. I'll pray the achashel rekev. You have a ladle filled with decomposed human flesh, and in it falls, I don't know, some dirt. This little dirt, we say this little dirt is going to take one little crumb of decomposed human flesh, and it'll be two crumbs to one crumb. It'll annul that one crumb. So that one crumb now becomes dirt. So now you don't have a full ladle worth of decomposed human flesh. So chasule, you're missing from the amount. That's what they were explaining. I said to them, Hadrabah, the opposite. Why is the sample the one crumb of human decomposition? Go the other way. I'll pray the achas afar. Now turning to Chavsayim and Beitz, it's impossible. You're not going to have at least two crumbs of decomposed human flesh overruling one little crumb of dirt. And now actually that dirt became decomposed human flesh. So now you have more decomposed human flesh than just a ladle worth. All right. So what's the logic here? El Amar Rabba. So therefore Rabba said, I need time to Rabbi Shimon. This is the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon. He holds sofo, the end of decomposed human flesh. In other words, if it decomposed to you, it decomposed and then something mixes in with it. As kitzchilaso, it's like human flesh that it from the very beginning is decomposing with something else. Matchilaso, we have a law that if a human corpse is decomposing with something else, let's say the corpse was dressed in something, and as it decomposes, the garment on it decomposes. So nasa lo davar acher gan gilon. The fact that it's decomposing with something else nulls it. And then there is no impurity from this decomposition. It's mevatelet. Af sofo, and that's also true with at the end of the body decomposed and then dirt falling into that rot. Nasa lo davar acher gan gilon. That other thing that fell in annuls it, and therefore it's not considered that which can create impurity. Mahi, what is this halacha? That at the beginning of the decomposition, if the corpse is decomposing with something else, then it doesn't create impurity. The time we look at a brisa. What type of dead body has the law that its decomposed flesh also creates impurity? What's the situation of a dead body where its decomposition is not going to create impurity? The answer is like this. Nikbar arum ba'arun shel shayish. If the corpse was buried naked in a coffin of marble, oh el gabe ritzpa shel avanim, or on a floor of stone. So stone does not decompose. So it's just the body, because the body's naked. So it's just this. So zeu meish yesh lo rekev. That's the decomposition of a body. That decomposition creates impurity. Zeu meish ein lo rekev. But what's the rot that has human remains in it, but it doesn't create impurity? Mikvar b'ksuso. A body buried in a garment. O ba'arun shel eitz. Or in a wooden box. Or on a floor of cinder blocks, also decomposed. Zehu meis she'in lo rekev. That is the dead body decomposition that doesn't have any impurity. Okay, now another law. Velo amru rekev el meis bilvad. This law of the rot of a human body creating impurity is when you have a whole human body that's put down, right, naked, and it decomposes, there is impurity to that decomposition. However, if the body's not complete, why? Let's say the guy was shot. So when he was shot, blood came out of him, the mute haru. No, then there is no law of rekev to him. Okay, special finish. Gufa, we learned before in the Brisa. Lo tarvad rekev, if you have a ladle filled with decomposed human flesh from a dead body, shenaf l'tocha afer kolshu, if a little bit of dust falls into it, tameh, it's still tameh. Rabbi Shimon Lo says it's mitar, it's now tar. Lo tar vid rekev, let's say you have a full ladle of decomposed human flesh. Shenit pazer babayit, that gets scattered around the house, and it was spattered about. Habay is tameh, the whole house becomes tameh. However, Rabbi Shimon Mitzahir. Rabbi Shimon says, it's tar. Utsrichan, I needed to tell you both laws. The Yeshmin Kamaisa would have told you the first law where some dirt falls into the ladle. Vayikami Rabbanan, Mishim de Michnaf. Here I would say that the Rabbanan disagree. They say it's still Mitzame because all of the decomposed human flesh is in one spot in the ladle. That's why it still creates Tuma. Avon mit Pazer, but if it scatters about, it would lead to Rabbi Shimon. Maybe they'll agree to Rabbi Shimon. Why? For a new reason. You don't have a full ladle in one spot, right? So you have a little bit of a roof over less than a ladle, and another little bit of a roof over a little bit more of a ladle. It's not all in one spot, so maybe that doesn't create tumas so well. For a tent to spread tumah, it has to be all in one spot, I would think. Yesh bin Baha, I won't tell you the argument over here. I say Baham Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon only says that it's tar in the case of the ladle. Based on this logic, that you can't trigger the ohel making things tameh if you're trying to combine different things in different spots within the ohel. Avol b'habur over here in modul the rabbanan, maybe gives the rabbanan. Tzricha, that's why I needed both lessons. Okay, hanidach, we learned in another brisa, talking again about this topic of decomposed human flesh. The lo tarva. A ladle film, the od afar, and a little bit of dirt from Beis Akvaros, from the cemetery. Tameh is tameh. Rabbi Shimon mitzar. Rabbi Shimon says it's tar. My time, my rabbanan. Why did the rabbanan say it's tameh? If yishiyef shalom lo tarvid v'od afar Beis Akvaros, shem bo lo tarvid rekev. They say when you're taking dirt from the cemetery, there's a lot of decomposed flesh there. So if you have a full ladle and a little bit more, certainly within that there's a ladle full of human flesh, and therefore it creates tumah, and they don't agree with Rabbi Shimon. They don't think that if there's something else mixed in, it annuls it. It doesn't annul it, and therefore it still creates tumah. So now the Gemara says, Ashtu d'amarta, now that you said, the time of Rabbi Shimon, the reason of Rabbi Shimon when you had a ladle full of human flesh and some dirt in it, the reason why it's tahar. So the human flesh had decomposed later, like human flesh decomposing from the beginning. And now Gabi Shilya, my time. But it's not because he holds it if there's a mixture of something in that annuls it. So what's his logic in our Mishnah? That if there is a afterbirth, the room is tahar. So Rabbi Yochanan said, Yishon Bitul Berov Naguba. It's because there's so much blood during birth that that blood is the majority, and it annuls the little fetus that decomposed and disappeared here. As Reb Yochanan l'tameh, this is Reb Yochanan being consistent. So I'm Reb Yochanan. Reb Yochanan used to say, Rabbi Shimon, and Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, I'm Udavar Echad. Reb Shimon, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, they say the same thing. Rabbi Shimon hadamar. Reb Shimon is this idea that when there is an afterbirth, we say that the room is tahar, because we assume that the body of the fetus decomposed inside the womb, and then it was annulled by the birthing blood. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the time we look at a different price, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Behema Gasa, let's say you have a thick animal, a big cow, Sheshafa Charar Adam, that releases a chunk of blood, a piece of blood. Ezu Tikaver, you have to bury it, because maybe this blood is really the Bechor, the firstborn male, that has disintegrated into the blood. And if she now has another baby, they don't say that that baby is a Bechor. That's what Elazar ben Yaakov says. Rebbechia said, Eino mitama, this chunk of blood does not create tumah, lo b'magav, lo b'masa. It doesn't have the status of an avela to create tumah through touch or through tumah through carrying. Someone says, I don't understand. So, if it's not going to create tumah, you're saying it's just blood. It's a mighty cover. So why do you have to bury it and treat it as if it was a bechor? And it's the Gemara. You're burying it to show that there's not going to be any bechora here, because there was peter rechem, the womb opened. Alma, so what do you see? Vlad ma'al Yehu. It is a baby. So then if it was a baby, so why is it not going to create Tumas Nevela? I'm Rabbi Yochanan again. Rabbi Yochanan give his answer. Because since there was blood, that blood was so much more than this little baby. This baby disintegrated into a majority, and the majority annulled it. Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah says that when there is an afterbirth, the room is still tahar, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, the baby disintegrated into the blood, and the blood was the majority to annul it. Rabbi Shimon agree, she'imo tzmeya leida, even though the room is tahar, but the mother had a birth. And since the mother had a birth, she has tumas leida. Amar hu sevel Rabbi Ami. There was this elderly sage who said, Rabbi Ami, azbarach lach. Taima, alak to Rabbi Yochanan. I'll explain the reason of Rabbi Yochanan. Because the pasuk says, Yishaki tazria, yalda zachar, a woman who will be seated and give birth to a male. It's a vashar master. You should be tummy for 7 days. That tells you, afilu lo yalda elakain shizria, even if what she gave birth to is like a seed, because it had all become a liquid, to Mea Leda, she still has the tumah of Leda. Rabbi Chanani, Ben Akash, Omer, Atzah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Yisrael, Nefich HaKibu Lehem Toro, Mitzvah, Shenemar, Adonai Chafetz Laman, Tzidko, Yagdil, Teravi Adir.